सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम्। अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिनी। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरा सुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। So far in the ninth chapter, Bhagavan Sri Krishna started with an introduction that he is going to give us this highest knowledge, which is also a supreme secret, because we need a guru to reveal this knowledge to us. And he said this knowledge is something that you can practice. It's not something esoteric that, you know, after 10 or 20 years, you can practice it right now, today itself. And that is the introduction. And in the fourth and fifth shloka, he gave us the highest knowledge of the Upanishads, that this universe is pervaded by me. Even though the universe is in me, I am not in the universe. In fact, the universe is not in me at all. And we'll talk a little more about that also today. Because these two verses were so difficult that Bhagavan felt that the next 4, 5, 6, 7 verses, he should explain what the universe is and what is my relationship, what is the Lord's relationship to this universe. He knows that we at this moment are not able to grasp this highest truth. And so in the sixth shloka, Bhagavan gives the example of space. Just as space is everywhere, and pervading everything inside and outside, everything is space, but yet space is not affected, even though the wind is blowing in space, and it could be a hurricane, it could be a soft breeze, but either way, the space remains unaffected, but the space sustains everything. And no matter how hard the wind blows, it cannot go out of space. So similarly, you and I and this whole entire universe, this earth and all the planets, are in that consciousness, in that Brahman. And it sustains us, supports us, but is not really affected by what is happening in this universe, just as space is not affected by what's happening in the wind or in the rest of the earth. And then in the seventh and eighth verse, Bhagavan Sri Krishna told us that it is me and it is under my presence that Prakriti creates this universe. So he says, just as throughout it is me who is working, and he says, Sarva Bhutani Kaunteya Prakritim Yanti Mamikam Kalpakshaye Punastani Kalpadav Visrijamiham. So he says, it is under my presence, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti, Prakritim Swama Vashtabhya Visrijami Punav Punaha Bhuta Gramam Imam Kritsnam Avasham Prakritir Vashat. So he says, Prakriti creates this entire universe. So he has given us his presence as the Lord, and he is the one that is giving energy to Prakriti, Avashtabhya. What they mean is he is illumining or giving life, energizing the Prakriti. And then in the presence of the Lord, the Prakriti is able to create this entire universe. So the creation happens by this power called Prakriti, which is, Bhagavan says, is my own power, but I am separate from it. So does that mean that the God is, since he created it, maybe he gets affected by what's happening, just as you and I, when we create a company, you know, we create a firm, an internet company, and if the company does well, I get happy. If the company doesn't do well, I get sad. Or I have a child and the child is doing well, I'm so happy. And when the child is not doing well, I think I'm a failure, because I am involved in that. I am so attached that anything happens to the child is happening to me. Anything happens to my business. So similarly, Bhagavan says that even though I am in everything, I am still not affected by it all. And what is the relationship between God and this world, which he had hinted in the fourth and fifth, he will explain further today. What is my relationship with all this universe? It's not that God is indifferent or does not care. He's very kind, compassionate, loving. But at the same time, what is happening is a different level, what we call as a different satta. So we'll explain that a little more today. What is the connection between God and us, or God and this universe? So we'll do verse number 9, chapter 9. Sneha, can please unmute.
Nacha mam tani karmani. Nibadnanti tananjaya.
Nibadnanti tananjaya.
Udasinavadasinam.
Udasinavadasinam.
Asaktam teshu karmasu.
Asaktam.
All together, if you can please mute. Nacha mam tani karmani nibadnanti dhananjaya udasinavadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu.
So Bhagavan says, mam tani karmani na nibadnanti. Nacha mam, to me, tani karmani, all these beings and this entire Prakriti and whatever happens to the universe, those karmas, those activities, na mam nibadnanti, they do not bind me. Just as you and I get bound with our karmas because we have this sense of doership that I am doing it and why has it not worked, and because of that we go through our ups and downs. So how to act in the world without this attachment is what we will learn in this verse and in the next two verses. So he says, mam tani karmani na nibadnanti. They do not bind me, O Dhananjaya, O Arjuna. How? Udasina vat asinam. Udasin. Udasa in other languages means sad. You know, in Hindi they say udas. But in Sanskrit, when they say udasina means undifferent, indifferent. Udasin vat. Vat means as if indifferent. The Lord appears indifferent, though I said even then he is very compassionate. Anytime we need help, the Lord is always there. And that's what Gurudev says, surrender your mind in devotion to the Lord. He will purify it and return it back to you. But as if in this different asinam, he stays sustaining this universe as if in different asaktam teshu karmasu. Indifferent as if in these karmas of all beings, all animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, all activities are going on in my presence, but I am not affected. So, as we said, when the ego is there, that I am doing it, I did it, and then why didn't it work, then the problem occurs. But if you say that I did my best, and whatever happened ultimately is his, you know, the success is his, the failure is his, I did my best. I don't have any doership, then I don't have any enjoyership, then I don't feel that I must get something out of it. I did whatever the best was, and ultimately the result. And if I don't succeed, next time I try higher. Does not mean that you don't work. You put in all your effort, but without expecting a result. Gurudev, in his commentary, gives this example of ego. Actually, I would suggest everybody to please read this commentary of Gurudev, because the examples he has given and the discussion is so marvelous. I don't think I can cover it. I would recommend everybody to please read this afterwards. If you don't have it, you can order it from Chinmaya Mission or pick it up from the mission at Bakersfield. So in that, Gurudev says the same situation happening. There is a young baby, you know, who is a few months old, and the father has held him in his hand, and the baby is kicking his feet out of, you know, just joy. And the father is very happy. He doesn't get upset. But suppose the same child becomes a teenager, 16 or 17 year old, is on drugs. And then he comes to his father, give me money. I want to buy drugs. And father says, I'm not going to give you. And in anger, he kicks. That same action of kicking has such a bad karmic, you know, result. While in the first one, there is no ego. The child doesn't feel I am kicking. He's just in his joy. So similarly, when the ego is there, the doership, that is when the actions can contaminate us. What is the relationship between God and the universe is like the example of gasoline. Now we put gasoline in the car and we are driving the car. And now suppose I take the car to a temple or to a, you know, place, and I do a lot of service, you know, feed the homeless. Does the gasoline get credit? Gasoline says, you know what, I'm the one. No. On the other hand, if I get drunk and I drive and I hit somebody and then I get called to the court, I cannot tell the judge, oh sir, I didn't do anything. If it was not for the gasoline in my car, I wouldn't have been able to drive. No, the gasoline doesn't get the blame, doesn't get the credit. Gasoline says, I only energize the car. I provide the energy. What you do with the car is your choice. So similarly, our body, mind, and intellect is like our car, and the Lord or consciousness is like the energy. And he says, I provide equal energy to all, just as the Gurudev in his example also says, the sun illumines all. He does not say, I'll only give my light to the good people and not to the bad. What we do with God's energy, that is our choice. That is where the ego comes in. The where I take my car or where I take my body, mind, and intellect, and what I do with it, so that is the relationship of God with this universe. So what is the relationship with God and the universe? So they say that I can have an Ishta Devta. You can have a form of God that you love. You know, it can be Krishna, it can be Buddha, it can be Mahavir Maharaj, it can be Krishiva, it can be Jesus, it can be Buddha. Consciousness is one, but what I have to do is not limit my God to only that one form, that Krishna alone is the best, or Jesus alone is best, or Muhammad alone is best. God takes many forms. So we see God in all different forms, but I have one particular form I love, and that is very good, because that is how I can develop a relationship of love with God and progress spiritually. In our scriptures, they have given three forms to God, you know, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, the creator, sustainer, and destroyer. So the point is that there is one power called Ishvara, one entity, which when the total consciousness works through Prakriti, becomes these three forms, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Brahmaji creates, Vishnu Bhagwan sustains, and Shiva dissolves. And they have the consorts which do the appropriate thing. So Mother Saraswati is knowledge. So she provides knowledge for creation. So to create the universe, Brahmaji needs knowledge, which is provided by Mother Saraswati. Vishnu Bhagwan needs the sustaining power, which is wealth, and the energy to sustain. And that is provided by Mother Lakshmi, because this whole universe is nothing but energy. As we know, the whole, even though we think we are solid, 99.9% is space, and the rest is protons, neutrons, and electrons moving. So that energy to sustain is provided by Mother Lakshmi and Bhagwan Vishnu. And then Lord Shiva has Mother Durga, which is energy, which is power, which is the destructive. Destructive does not mean to destroy the universe, but to get rid of the old to make way for new. For example, if we look at my garage, it is full with so many things. You know, oh, my child made this little toy when he was 3 years old, and this we just keep them. Child has gone to university, got married, has children of his own, but we are still holding on. So that is Durga. They said, get rid of things that you don't need. You know, this particular device I have not used in 10 years, but I want to leave it in my garage. Maybe sometime I will use it. So that's what they say. That is the destruction, that get rid of things you don't need. In our closet, we have so many clothes that we have not worn. And we say, you know what? This dress I haven't worn in 10 years, but I'm planning to lose weight. And when I lose weight, then I will wear that dress. When you lose weight, then celebrate by bringing new clothes. So get rid of things and give them away to people who will need them. You know, Goodwill, or you go to India. So that is Mother Durga, that gets rid of the old to make way for new. So that is the relationship that God creates, sustains, and ultimately He is the one that takes away what is not required so that new world may come. That's why our grandparents and great-grandparents are not here, because once they get to a certain stage, they move on, and that's what will happen to us. We will also move on and make way for new people to come. So talking about God, this father, his daughter brought her boyfriend to meet him and says, Dad, I really like him. And he comes and says, Dad, can I have permission to marry your daughter? And the daughter leaves so that the father and son-in-law prospective can talk. So father says, what are you doing? He said, I'm studying to be a priest. You know, and priests, I mean, they don't make too much money. So he says, when you marry my daughter, how will you provide for my daughter? He says, the Lord will provide. God will take care of it. He says, okay. He says, then you'll need to buy a house, you know. How will you provide for the house? God will provide for the house. He says, okay. He says, then you will have children, right? You'll have a couple of kids. And who will take care of the children? Oh, God will take care of the children. So after the boy leaves, his wife comes, the father's wife, and says, how did you like that boy? She says, he's nice. Best part is, he thinks I'm God. So that is what we think, that there is some God who should take care of us when we don't want to do anything. So how does this ego apply in our day-to-day life? So I do something, and what I do, the first thing I do, I go tell everybody, you know, I did this, that's why, and I'm the one who built this, I'm the one. So this I and my comes in, and we are looking for all kind of praise and appreciation, and if people don't appreciate, I get unhappy, I get sad. So they say, like, for example, there is the job, right? We all need to go and clean the mission, and we need to remove all clothes and papers and a lot of documents and things. And so everybody gets together and cleans. And then afterwards they say, you know, let's take a group picture and we'll put it on the website. You know, these are all the... And there's one lady who comes early, cleans and leaves. She doesn't worry about picture or whether anybody recognizes me and all. Not that there's anything wrong in recognition, but the point is that you do the job because it is the right thing to do, not what recognition I will get out of that. So that should be the understanding. And what are the actions I should do? What are in my scriptures? Whatever is in the scriptures, whatever is indicated, tasmat, they said, let the scriptures be pramanam te. Let them be the your guide, and work with that. And when you work with that God is working through me and this is God instructions, then there is no ego. Talking about working without ego is like I'm playing chess with my grandchild. Now, when I'm playing with her, do I have the idea that I must defeat her? You know, she's maybe only 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 and just learning. So what I'll do, I'll help her, and, you know, and if I lose, even if she gets better and lose, I get happy. Look, my grandchild or my child is doing well. So then there is no ego of doership. There is no ego of competition. There is that let my child or my grandchild do well. So what we do is, as we work in this path, we will see that we are evolving. And the evolution is how I work in this world is without doership. So that God is working through me and I'm doing God's work. And whether I get credit or not doesn't matter, because there is no ego. There is no doership. That is called karma yoga. So I start with karma yoga. We all have to work in the world, obviously. You know, as long as we are alive, this Bhagwan says, even your daily duties you need to do. You get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, take a shower, eat breakfast. So do all activities what are done as a agent of the Lord. Lord is working through me and I am doing all the work for him, and all the success and failure goes to him. And what that does is purifies the mind, reduces the vasanas. Vasanas are this I and my that promote this I and my, that desire that I want and I must get. And as my mind becomes purer and my vasanas become less, I develop the attitude of a bhakta, where I love God and God alone is doing everything. And my beloved God is in everybody. Whoever I see is God alone, is Krishna in everybody, is Jesus in everybody, is Lord Shiva in everybody. So when I see God in everybody and then I am not doing anything, God is, then automatically I develop love for all. Then I feel that if I'm hurting somebody, I'm hurting God. If I'm loving somebody, I'm loving God. So when that attitude comes, even my things, you know, when I throw something or, you know, don't take care of my shoes or my clothes, it is I'm insulting God. So that attitude comes. That is the attitude of a bhakta. And then, not higher than that, but different than that, is the attitude of a jnani, who says that I am the spirit, the consciousness. Bhagwan is in me. That is my higher nature. I am that. And in my presence, this body, mind, and intellect is working. I am not doing anything. So that is even a higher state of evolution, where all activities are going on, but I am above that. Then I become one with God. And all activities still go on, but there is no doership. There is no attachment, where whatever is necessary to happen. Even to my body, I develop detachment. Tomorrow my body will get old. I'm ready to drop it. When my mind get upset or agitated, I remain calm. When I have success and failure, I remain unaffected. Does not mean I don't work hard, but the body, mind, and intellect fluctuations do not affect me. So that is slow detachment. Slow progress. An example, we look at Gurudev, how Gurudev worked. Gurudev did not work for any recognition, Swami Chinmayanandaji. In fact, when he started in 1950 teaching this message of Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, he got a lot of criticism. Instead of getting praise, He was criticized, he was opposed, but he said, it is God's work and I have been sent here to do it. I have this knowledge from my guru. And keeping his guru and God in his mind, he continued to do his work despite a lot of opposition, despite his health problems in his later years. And that is why we are all here. You know, this Chinmaya mission is working. All this Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, all this knowledge we have got, all the acharyas have been trained. It is because of Pujya Gurudev's work, where he did not do it for recognition. He did not do it for name and fame. His idea was that this is the right thing to do, and no matter how many people oppose me, I will do it. So that's what Bhagwan says, that these activities, even though they are happening in my presence, I do not get bound, I do not get affected, but without me, the activities will not go on. Just as without gasoline, the car will not run. But the gasoline has no credit or discredit. If the car has an accident or the car runs fine, it says it is the equipment, the car. So similarly, the body, mind and intellect are our equipment, and the gasoline is God, and that is common in all of us.